each other. So, Bill, you started that off with those songs. A lot of those were my mom and dad's favorite songs. And so that was good and bad. Tonight we're going to... This is my granddaughter's present to me, so I'm going to just put this aside for now. I'll pick this back up. Stella, I'm going to put this back on afterwards, okay? Tonight, we're here to not only be together as fellow Christians and encourage each other and praise our God together, which is what the most important thing is, but we're also here later on tonight to honor four of our seniors. And so I'm going to embarrass them, and I would like them, if they're here, they might be waiting until the last one, to come up, and if you could scoot over a little bit, just a little bit. Come up and join me up here in front, right here, the four of you, Isaac and Marissa and Isabel and EJ. Where's EJ? There he is. He's on the AV. Ooh, yeah, there you go. So... Marissa's hopefully going to be here later on. So you saw them honored this morning by the elders, and all of you, you know, were clapping for them and encouraging them. The reason why we're encouraging them at this time is because they're starting a new phase in their life. You know, my son Isaac, and I've had five, all right, five, but he has done nothing but complain. Even on the way here tonight about this that we're doing. What's the big deal? You know? So I sat in class for a few hours and, you know, did some tests and got through and did it. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? What's the big deal? I mean, it was constant. What's the big deal? And he was just really, really somewhat upset that we were doing all this for him and the other three. He just didn't get it. He didn't get it. But let me tell you that throughout history, almost from the very beginning, humans have honored each other on things that happen in life. You know, you get to a certain place in your life and things change. Life is about change, right, guys?
Yes, sir.
It's about change. So things change, but it's up to us to make sure that those changes are in the right direction. So hopefully tonight will be a little bit of encouragement for you. Two of you have heard some of this before, so it doesn't hurt. The rest of you might have even heard some of this before, but it doesn't hurt us to be reminded of things that are important. Doesn't matter how old we are, how smart we are, how wise we are, how great we are in this life. It doesn't matter. We need to be reminded about the truths that God has for us. Constantly being reminded of what's important. And that's what tonight is about. And hopefully, after we're done, hey, we have an honoree in the group tonight. I won't embarrass you anymore. They can ask you about it afterwards. Hopefully when I'm done tonight, when the Lord's done, hopefully working through me, you will be encouraged to live a better life. You know, we get caught up in this life with so many things. It's just constant. My health, you know, I'm constantly, I mean, tonight, as I'm sitting there with Pia, I'm thinking about her, but I'm also thinking about my sugar. She understands what I'm saying. I'm thinking about, you know, am I going to go low? Am I going to go high? You know, I've got this monitor on me that tells me which is, you know, direction it's going. I've got the insulin then that I've got to take or not take, you know, to make sure that that happens correctly. Sue's come to an understanding of that as well. And it's not a fun thing. Health is not a fun thing. All of us, to a certain extent, in this room have been through health things, even if you've just had the flu. It's not fun. It changes us. It changes our perspective, at least while we're going through it. So we have things that take away our focus from what's important. It happens all the time. What I'm going to talk to you about tonight, like I said, is nothing new. And some of the things have been taken from an individual that many of you know, Francis Chan. It's not verbatim, any of his things, but one of the things that I'm going to share with you tonight has had a very powerful impact on my life. And I think on others that I've shared it with in the past. And I'm hoping that it will for you. And again, if you've seen it before, hopefully it will remind you of what's important. So when we think about our past, and we think about the things that have come up against us in life, and the struggles that we've had, and the things that you guys have gone through in your last 12 years, and especially the last 4 years, where you're striving to get ready for the future, you know, you think about the things that you've had to overcome. You know, you missed a test, you didn't hand in your, well, you know, you always handed in your, you didn't? Wow, Isabel, that shocks me. Wow. EJ, you always did your homework, right? Isaac, I know. So there's times when you didn't turn your stuff in, you didn't do what you were supposed to do, and then you had to pay the consequences for it. We all have those kind of things. You know, we didn't go stop by the store and pick up the milk on the way home, and the wife then says, "What? That's the only thing I ask you to do. Why in the world? How could you not? How could you forget that? How could you not remember that? You went into the store, you got your coffee, but you didn't get your milk? Are you kidding me?" I mean, it's just a constant, and then we pay for it, right? We pay for it for the next few hours or the next day, especially through the night. You know, it's just one of those things that when we have things that happen to us in life that we have responsibilities for, expectations that are on us. Things happen, and we're always striving to understand how we can accomplish these things without having the repercussions come. And, you know, one of the things that we would all, I think, agree on is that we're all bound by our past. You know, we look to the past. There's throughout the ages, there has been historians. You know, even if there's only a tribe and there's an elder in that tribe who knows a history that was then passed on to him by another historian, who was passed on to him by another historian, elder, someone who remembers what took place, and they pass it on. We are a human group of past. We sit there and we think about our past and we consider our past. When you go to a counselor or a psychologist, what's the first thing he does? What's the first thing he asks you to do? What's that? How are you today? But as you're telling him and you're expressing to him, you know, some of the frustrations that you've gone through, and then he's just getting to know you, what is the first thing he asks you to do? Or what's the first thing about you that he asked? Tell you about yourself, about your past. How did you grow up? You know, did you have a father? Did you have a mother? You know, were they kind to you? Did you have struggles when you were growing up? And it's about the past, you know. And so we're always looking past. And that's not a bad thing. It is not a bad thing to look to the past. You want to put up Philippians for me, Mike? You can't? Oh, great. Oh, great. I was hoping that you guys would be able to soak in God's word while I was speaking and get a lot more from that than from me. But one of the things that we're going to be looking at tonight is Philippians chapter 3. And the verses that we're going to be looking at are specifically 7 through 17, but specifically up on the board, I was wanting to have 12 through 14. And one of the things Paul says there is I forget what's in the past. I forget what's in the past. But what do? We are always about our past. We're looking back. We're always looking back. You know, my dad, I loved him. He was an awesome man. And many of you here know him. You have been blessed by him. You know, blessed by God through him and my mom. My dad stayed busy. And we're totally different. You guys know that. You know, we're totally different. I'm emotional. He's not. You know, he's organized. I'm not. He's on time. I'm not. You know, all those things that I'm not are not a good thing, by the way. By the way, they're not a good thing. And I'm working on them. I'm still working on them. I'm almost 60 years old. I'm still working on them, okay? So you never stop learning, never stop going. But, you know, he was not the best for me, for my personality. Thank you, Mike. He didn't help me. He didn't encourage me in the way that I needed it a lot. And that's me saying that to you. That's me saying that to you. I'm sharing with you something here. My sister knows it. She saw it many times. You know, he was too busy about you guys, which is awesome. And about God's work, which is awesome. To the point that, which was good for the two of us, he took us with him, with Mom, to studies. We saw the Joel Miller film strips over and over and over, to the point that we actually memorized them. We knew them inside out. You know, there was really, really awesome good things about Mom and Dad and the way we were raised. But for me personally, my personality is such that I needed something more. And I have time after time after time after time. And I don't want to say this too hard, but I blamed him. And that's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. I need to take responsibilities for those things. So when you guys look past, you've all had it rough in some ways. I've not been there for you over the last few years because of my new job. You've had it really rough. You've had it rough. You know, the three of you have had it rough. You've had it rough. But you don't want to hold on to those things because what does it do? It holds you down. It holds you back. It keeps you from accomplishing by God, what he has in store for you. And we all do it. Every one of us do that. We hold on to our past. We hold on to the things that keep us from committing ourselves fully and completely to God. And we need to stop. We need to stop. We learn from the past. That's why history is important. But we don't let it hold on to us, take hold of us, and hold us back. Yes, we move forward. We move forward. And what does Paul say? I forget what is past. And straining on, I move forward. I move forward. Straining on. You know, the verbiage in this passage we're going to read here in just a minute, it's a little hard. You know, when I first read this as a kid, I didn't understand it. It didn't make a lot of sense. Not looking past, yeah, I can get that. Moving forward, I can get that. But there's so many other things that are in there, and I just didn't get it. And when you think about who he was writing to and why he was writing to him, it was because of the Greek and the past that they had historically, and the athletics that took place at that time, and that they ran in many of their events was running, and they didn't get anything until they finished the end, until they actually made it to the end. They didn't get anything. They didn't get anything. How many times in scriptures have you seen, especially in Hebrews chapter 11, that they did not receive their reward? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Noah, Ruth, all of these heroes and people that we look to in the scriptures, they lived and lived and they lived through tremendous struggles. They worked hard at their lives. They accomplished much. But yet they did not receive their true full reward. Straining on. Straining on. Moving forward. I'm going to read this to you real quick. Oops. Sorry about that. I can't put it up on my belt because of all those electronics. So hopefully that won't happen again. Philippians chapter 4, or chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 7. And listen to what Paul's saying here. You know, all of us know this passage. We know it. And it's probably some of us, it's a favorite, one of the favorites. I know it's one of mine. Let's see what it says here. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, because we can't earn it, right? We can't. It's a gift. Grace and the gift of salvation is through Christ Jesus, not through our works, so that no man can boast. But yet, what does he do? But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. And what is real faith? What is real faith? Is it believing? There are two types of people in this room right now. People that believe in Jesus. People that believe in Jesus. You believe in him. You believe in him, don't you? And people that are going to walk with Jesus. Did you hear what I said? You believe in him, right? You believe in him. Let's read on. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. So has Paul actually gotten that? Has he attained that resurrection and that power? No. And he'll say that here in a second. But how many of us think that once we are dipped in that baptismal up there and we come out, think that that's it? That's it. We've made it. We're victorious. And forget that we have to strain on moving forward. That we have to make it all the way to the very end, to the very finish line, and strain. You know, you see those racers that are in the Olympics, and they're straining so hard, and now you got these photo finishes that are literally milliseconds apart from each other. And they can see that just by incremental amounts, one person won over another. That's what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. We're supposed to be working at it so hard, straining so hard, moving forward so much, that's how we do when we cross that line. That's what it's like. And we have had a lot of people in this congregation, you know, Jane's parents, my parents, you know, so many others that have strained so hard and moved so hard and moved so fast and ran the race and crossed that line like that. We all need to be doing that, straining towards it, not getting comfortable, not looking past and letting that hold on to us, not getting comfortable with this life and saying, okay, you guys listening? You know, you've pretty much decided what you're going to do, right? You've decided what you're going to do with your life. Some amazing things what you guys are going to be doing, you know? I really think that you're all going to do great things in this life. But is it what you accomplish in this life that matters? It's a trick question. You see, what happens is what we talked about at the beginning, we lose focus. Because is it about having the nice house and the big car and the boat and all of these things and all this money and not living like, you know, you were brought up, and I don't know that you guys were brought up like this, but, you know, not having a lot of money, but now I'm going to have a lot of money so that I don't have to worry about it. You know, whatever it is that we're straining towards in this life, striving to succeed in this life and hold on to the things in this life, and the idols that we have put in front of God in this life are going to cause our destruction. And we need to remember that and remember it every single day when we wake up. You guys have seen this, right? Remember this? Do you remember seeing this? I know you do. I think I've told you about this. Hopefully this is going to unwind. I don't know if it is or not. Let's see. All right. So when Paul says this, if we read up there, we're seeing that, you know, he presses on towards the goal for the prize of the outward calling of God in Christ. So when we're pressing on and we're straining forward and moving forward to actually do that, we're doing it for a purpose. We're doing it for the purpose of grabbing a hold of the baton and going past the finish line for the outward calling in Christ, which is ultimately heaven, right? Ultimately, it's heaven. Ultimately, that's what it is. We're striving to reach that goal of heaven. And when we reach that goal of heaven, we're going to actually somehow, some way, be able to experience something that we, in this life, have never been able to experience. Something that is beyond our comprehension. Something that is so powerful that others that have experienced it were changed completely. Yes, and there were a few that did. Just imagine that this rope that I just went around, that the white part of it goes on forever. Obviously, it only goes to the back where Mike is, but it goes on forever. Forever. You can't see an end. It's forever. This white part. See it? The white part goes on forever. You can't see the end of it. You can't see the end of it. This red part is your life. This red part, you see this? See this right here? This is your life in compared to eternity. For those of you who have seen this before, remember the power that you felt when you first saw this. Because it is important to understand your relationship to heaven and eternity to this portion of your life. Because what we do as young people coming out of high school, going to college, we say, well, if I can just get this far and do this much, then I'm going to have, you know, everything that's going to make me comfortable, and I'm going to be able to pay my bills, and I'm going to be able to send my kids to college, and I'm going to be able to live comfortably in my retirement. And then once I get in retirement, I can enjoy my grandkids. And once I get done with enjoying my grandkids, I can lay down and I can die and I can go on to eternity. Guess what? That's not what this life is about. It is not what this life is about. But that's what we make it. We make our idols this. It's about us. It's about what we accomplish. It's about what we do in this life. And if we don't do enough, then we're not good enough. But you know what? God saw us as good enough to send his one and only son to die for us so that we could be with him forever. Right here, this is your life. The past is gone. This portion right there is your past. Okay? Right there. Your future upcoming is going to be right there. And then you're going to have from here to make a difference. in what's going to be an eternity. I look in your faces and I don't see that there's any sign of a difference. Maybe there is, but I'm not seeing it. Maybe you've all seen it before, but you know what? You need to be reminded of how important it is to live a life of sacrifice for God.
Yes, sir.
And when you start to plan your future, that's how you plan it. Not for how you can pay your bills, not for what you can accomplish in this life, but how it is going to affect your eternity and others around you. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We know that passage. We've just talked about it briefly. But look at what happens in the next few verses. This is where we forget, as brethren, as members of Christ's body, to see the passage. And this is the warning and encouragement for you guys. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too, God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. And we have people like that in the past who have said and had the right to say, follow me and my example as I follow Christ. But how many of us now are able to say that with a good conscience? For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. You know, I used to think that that phrase was the world. I used to think that phrase was for the world. You know, it was those that were out there that were trying to teach and help. And that's not what Paul's saying. These are people that are in the church, that if you want to put it to today, that are sitting in the pews. These are the people that are filling the churches today, living as enemies of the cross. If I asked you tonight, how many of you are enemies of the cross, I can guarantee you that no one, even if you are, would raise your hand. But Paul, with tears, is saying there are many that are. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Their mind is on earthly things. Where's our mind supposed to be? On heavenly things, right?
Yes, sir.
Set your heart on heavenly things, Colossians chapter 3. You know, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You know, we know that. But what happens every day? We get up, we roll out of bed, we don't want to go to work, we start thinking about all the things we have to do, we start thinking about the school work that we have to get done, start thinking about how tired we are because we stayed up until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and can't get out of bed. You know, it's the thoughts that happen to us when we first wake up in the morning that many times takes our focus off our mission. Tim talked about mission work this morning. We all have a mission. We all have a mission to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, His truth with everyone. To live it in such a way that they can see God living in us. They can see the love of Christ in our lives. That we care. That we care enough to pray for them. We care enough to talk to them. We care enough to help them do what needs to be done that nobody else wants to do. Feed them, clothe them, give them water, give them clothes that keep them warm, help them to pay their bills, give them a sense of hope, because that's what Christ has done for us. He's given us a powerful hope in the resurrection of His Son, Jesus. And we need to live like that in such a way that every moment that we speak, everything that we think, all the things that we do are in commitment to Him. Otherwise, we will tend to be like those that are going to destruction. We don't want to be there, right? We don't want to be enemies of the cross. Do you guys want to start off your life being an enemy of the cross? No. So Christ is telling us through Paul, the Spirit is telling us through Paul, the way to live. Understand that this is your life. That's eternity. Make a difference. Make a difference. So I have a challenge for you, especially you three. When you go home, think about your last week of life. Think about what you did that is going to make a lasting difference for eternity. All of you, think about that. What did you do last week that is going to make a lasting difference for eternity, either in your life or in the others that you came in contact with? If you think like that every single day, it'll change your life. And then this will become this. Thanks for listening.